Today marks 2 years since a deadly riot engulfed the Capitol. The January 6th House Select Committee spent 18 months looking at the events and actors that helped fuel the violence that day, and that includes a number of extremist groups. NPR national security correspondent Sergio Olmos has been poring over the committee's report. Sergio, the January 6th report focuses on the efforts of former President Trump to overturn the 2020 election. Ultimately, that led to the insurrection at the Capitol. Can you remind us what role extremists played in that?
They were the tip of the spear. The report acknowledges that many of the people who entered the Capitol that day didn't plan to do so, but it also makes clear that extremist groups like the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers led the mob. They were an enzyme, taking what could have been perhaps an unorganized riot or a political scandal behind closed doors and turning it into a violent attempt to overturn democracy. The report says, quote, "But it is also true that extremists, conspiracy theorists, and others were prepared to fight. That is an insurrection." As the report notes, Trump tried to bend institutions to his will for weeks since election night. The Department of Justice, state election officials, all of whom told him no. The institutions of the Republic didn't bend to his will, and so Trump went outside of them, calling on people outside of the government who would carry out his will. At the hearing, lawmakers played a montage of clips of far-right media figures like Alex Jones, Matt Bracken, and Tim Pool echoing Trump's call to come to D.C. on January 6th.
President Trump, in the early morning hours today, tweeted that he wants the American people to march on Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021.
If necessary, storming right into the Capitol. We know the rules of engagement. If you have enough people, you can push down any kind of a fence or a wall.
This could be Trump's last stand. And it's a time when he has specifically called on his supporters to arrive in D.C.
The report states that in the days leading up to January 6th, numerous aides tried to get Trump to call off the rally, afraid of the kinds of people that were planning on showing up. On the day, Hope Hicks, a former White House advisor, sent a text saying, quote, "We look like domestic extremists." And that is exactly the kind of people who played a key role in January 6th.
And how did that work exactly?
By January 6th, leaders of the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, Stop the Steal, founder Ali Alexander, were all communicating in an encrypted signal chat run by Roger Stone, a Trump associate. Each group had different plans for how they would lay siege to the Capitol. The Oath Keepers, for example, had a cache of weapons in hotel rooms in Virginia with men waiting by the radio to act as a quick reaction force. They would bring guns in once the Capitol had been taken. And on that day, the Oath Keepers moved on the Capitol steps in stack formations like trained soldiers. But it's important to understand that they didn't just appear on January 6th, these far-right groups. They have been building for years by the point of January 6th. Groups like the Proud Boys had been getting into street fights in cities like Portland, Oregon, something I witnessed firsthand. And I want to tell you the story of what happened there to understand the forces at play. In 2020, protests for racial justice in the wake of George Floyd's murder spread across the country. As the January 6th report lays out, quote, "The Proud Boys deputized themselves as agents of law and order, and they played the role of instigators." In this video I recorded back in August of 2020, a Proud Boy leads a crowd of hundreds into a street brawl against racial justice demonstrators in full view of police on the steps of the Justice Center in downtown Portland, Oregon. The January 6th report describes how the Oath Keepers, the far-right group that moved in that stack formation on the Capitol steps, used the racial justice protest in the summer of 2020 as a means to organize. They were self-appointed security at counter-rallies, building muscle memory by coordinating these events and using them to recruit new members. The report says that in the year leading up to January 6th, there were at least 9 protests in which far-right actors entered state capitals. On December 21st, a couple of weeks before January 6th, I was there when far-right extremists broke into the Oregon state capitol. By New Year's Day of 2021, multiple state capitals had been stormed, and far-right groups weren't just attacking racial justice protesters, but taking on law enforcement. The week before January 6th, I remember being at the Oregon State Capitol watching a crowd of Proud Boys and others turn against the police. There was one man wearing a "Don't Tread on Me" flag as a cape. He was chanting on a bullhorn, "No more backing the blue." As the January 6th report makes clear, the insurrection at the Capitol didn't come out of nowhere. In the Trump era, extremist groups went unchecked, getting more violent at protests. This went on for years, and when finally the president summoned them to Washington on January 6th, they came.
That's NPR Sergio Olmos back with us. All right, 2 years later, to the day, where are these extremist groups now?
So centrally organized far-right groups like the Oath Keepers have been mostly dismantled. They're basically gone. Their leadership has been convicted of seditious conspiracy charges like Stuart Rhodes. Decentralized groups like the Proud Boys and scores of others that are less well-known are a day-to-day reality, even as Proud Boy leaders like Enrique Tarrio are on trial for seditious conspiracy. Tarrio and his lieutenants have pled not guilty. Nearly 1,000 people have been charged in the wake of January 6th. Extremist groups use violent force to determine political decisions. On the biggest stage in the world, that failed on January 6th. But on smaller, more local stages, that's not necessarily the case.
So at the end of the day, what do we take away from this?
I do feel like there's a clear line between the bloody scenes I saw on the streets for years with far-right extremist groups and what we saw on January 6th. But today, far-right extremist groups aren't seeing a bipartisan crackdown. Instead, they're seeing their ideas gaining greater acceptance on the mainstream right.
That's NPR national security correspondent Sergio Olmos. Thanks a lot.